The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
I'm gonna drag you into it anyways. Fire it up, Doug. Go ahead, fire it up. I'm dragging these motherfuckers in.
It's all right. We'll just
fire it up, Doug. Come on, fire it up.
No, we'll just act embarrassed.
Come on, fire it up, Doug. Fire it up, Doug. Fire it up. Are we fired up?
Adam's gonna talk about some inappropriate shit.
Can we just can we segue him into this? Like, what's
no. We already know what he wants
I
to
like
talk about.
Big butts and I cannot lie. You other brothers touch my thigh.
You know what?
I don't think that's how it goes.
I can't wait till we finally release these videos that we have. A lot of these listeners do not know this, but we've been recording these since day one.
Oh my God, you're right.
And there's lots of material on there where, like, Justin and Sal, when we're off the radio, are talking about topics like anal sex.
Whoa!
What do you mean off air?
talk about subjects. We just
hello.
Hey guys, let's talk about ass. Let's talk about butt sex.
Sounds like Adam's not much of an anal sex guy. Like, and
what?
I don't know.
Why are you so comfortable?
But the way you just said that,
so
I don't know
the way
why
you said that. The way you said that, it sounds like you don't like it up
there. You said it. I just repeated it.
That's not what. No.
No, I made it.
No,
yeah,
you have
you're
said
uncomfortable
the,
with it.
You have said
happening.
You have said in the past that you don't like doing that kind of stuff.
It's not that I don't
because
like
because you're a prude.
No, not at all. I'm a filthy whore. But here's the thing about it is anal sex to me is kind of like a. It's kind of you know. It's
what
kinda,
are we talking about?
It's kind of
God.
It's
really?
Kinda,
are we?
It's kind of a little dick guy thing.
What?
Yeah, it's kind of a little dick guy thing.
No, what?
Yeah. Well, unless you're dating a porn star, most women's anuses are not big enough to fit a Pepsi-sized. Pepsi
can it doesn't
size.
Really work. It's kind of like hitting
like
a wall.
You like how he did that?
Yeah.
He just alluded to the fact that it's,
that was
trying to say that
he has
that
one the size of a Pepsi can.
Oh my God.
So like a small baby's arm. Isn't that what you said before?
It's like it's got asthma. That's how
it's
big
got
it is.
Asthma.
It can't breathe. It can't breathe.
You know
what we should talk about?
I'd love to make you guys blush.
You know we should blush.
Yeah, you're blushing.
Oh my God, he's talking about anal sex.
Oh my God. No. Hot in here.
That's not why you guys are blushing. You're like a fuck. What is this motherfucker going to say that I'm going to have to go back and tell my wife, honey? That was Adam. Yeah. Adam was the one that was
there. Know.
It's finally happened. We talked about anal sex.
It's about time.
Yeah, right. 150 episodes. Finally,
we should answer some questions.
Everything's out there on the table.
We need to do a Q&A, but we need to start off
with the anal sex ones.
No, with a song.
Oh.
We need a song.
Like a penetration song.
Oh, we do?
Something that's penetrating.
No, we need a song, Justin.
You got to come up with the song this time so that I can chime in.
I don't have a song, dude.
Could you give
Why do I always have to
have
a song?
How about some Motley Crue?
Motley Crue?
Yeah.
Yeah, but girls, I don't really like Motley Crue.
You're about to sing it.
You were. How about Tesla?
Tesla?
Signs everywhere.
Rocking up a scenery, breaking my mind. Do this, don't do that. Did you read the signs? That's a lame
boom,
song.
Boom, Sal.
Yeah. You did it. You did
I
it, Adam.
I sung just for you.
You remember how before when we used to argue and you used to be like, I don't want to sing. And I'd be like, please sing. And you'd be like, I don't want to sing. Please.
Now you know
you
why.
Were right.
Yeah.
You were right. I admit it, bro. You should never sing again.
Can you come back and be my backup singer?
Normally those riffs sound really good. It sounded terrible, and that was because I chimed in.
Yeah. Sorry, everybody. Yep. Sorry about that.
I do not have a voice of an angel.
You know what would have been better was that song by like the Crash Test Dummies.
Oh, God, I remember that song.
Wasn't that an annoying song?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
All right, Doug.
It's a great transition to get us into Q&A mode.
You know what? Before we even do Q&A, what I realized, I was actually going back through some of our episodes and listening, and one of the things that we used to do really well, and I blame this on Sal. He's the worst at this, is we don't introduce ourselves.
We have not done that in a long
time. We have not introduced. You know what? A lot of people are listening right now, and they're hearing these names getting thrown around. They're like, who the fuck is who?
Who are these hyenas always laughing and farting?
Yeah, so this is Mind Pump Radio. This is Adam Schaefer. I'm here with Sal DiStefano.
That's me.
Justin Andrews.
The guy of the room.
Doug the Spinner.
That is I.
So there you guys go, in case you were wondering.
All right, Doug, yeah. Ask us some questions that we can answer.
I like our nicknames, with our though. We should do our AKAs. You got the wizard, you got the scientist, and you got the dude.
You're the
I like,
dude.
I like that.
If I self-proclaim myself. Doug,
I like the dude.
Doug,
that's perfect
is Doug stuck with the spinner?
I like spinner. For him.
It's kind
of. Doug's like,
he's, yeah. Yeah.
He's
I, like, I think I got love it, guys. Up there. Yeah. I love it.
Actually, after seeing him tonight, yeah. I think he should have a new nickname, like maybe a pit bull.
Yeah,
no, I like that one.
The pit bull.
Yeah. That one's better.
Oh, he likes. That's a little tougher.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got the wizard, the scientist, like the dude, and
with
the chihuahua.
Raging attitude.
You did. I tried, Doug. I tried to give you a tough one, dude. I'm
chihuahua.
So we're here.
Let's take a run to the border.
Okay, Chihuahua, could you go ahead and give us the Q&A?
Yeah, we got Q&A here.
Right? Doesn't that fit? It's good.
Justin's paid.
I'm really trying to live up to my name now.
Justin's salary just got cut in half. Whatever, you fuck with the producer.
Yeah, no, damn it.
All right. We got one from @amfitness_. They're asking about machines versus free weights. Apparently, they haven't used free weights.
So here's the deal. I'll break it down real simple. If you want,
no, you're gonna break it down real nerdy. Actually,
no. It's not nerdy. This is simple.
Let them do it.
If you want less results, you should go with machines.
Okay.
Beautiful.
I was actually gonna go a little nerdy for you and explain machines. Machines were primarily designed for two things, right? For rehabilitation and hypertrophy.
There it is.
Those are the primary two reasons why they're there. So,
safety.
Rehabilitation being number one. So, you know, if you got somebody with a major injury in like their lower extremities and you're worried about compromising that, you might put them on a machine where it constricts them in a certain movement so you can work on something, right? But as far as
the bands are like 100% better anyway,
right?
So.
There's so many other things that
there
you can
goes
do
that theory
free weight wise that would be more ideal for sure.
Yeah, free weights are far more superior in pretty much every aspect of fitness. If you're advanced and you're doing lots of exercises, you know, throw machines in to give yourself some variety and give yourself different types of, you know, resistance, you know.
Well, unless you move like animatronically, like, right? Maybe somebody does that out there.
That was the worst machine sound ever. Yeah,
it was like a broken robot.
Well, I never said that my sound effects were good.
Okay.
I never claimed that.
Well, this has to be,
dude. You know what? You did that one with the... We're doing Falcon. You're talking about the Predator and the little. He's like,
yeah.
I remember that, bro. I took notes.
His laser.
Yeah, his laser. His laser noise, bro. Laser shoulder. See,
that is the weak.
I picked up on that. You didn't think
that's
so.
That's pretty good, bro. That's the weakest laser I've ever heard. I am not scared of your laser.
What if you had like this super powerful laser that like could blow a fucking house apart?
What does that sound like?
But that's the sound it makes. But it blows shit up.
It reminds me of my youngest. He you know, he likes to shoot like pretend guns and stuff. And he goes like, beep, 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 beep. That's so funny because he runs around like with this huge gun. He's like, beep, 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 beep.
Like, son, that is not going to kill
yeah,
daddy.
Yeah, like, I'm not scared.
That is not going to kill daddy. You better turn that up to volume 10.
You got to be like, get on that level.
Way scarier.
Yeah.
So I would think that machines versus free weights would piss off Justin probably more than anybody else since he's the functional god and performance god over here.
Functional all day.
And out of all three of us, I probably use machines the most. And the primary reason why I use machines
because you are a machine.
Is primarily to fuck with all the other trainers that are in the gym because I love to see them. I love to do an exercise totally stupid on a machine and then watch all the trainers do it the next day. So that's the number one reason I do it. The second reason why I use machines.
Peck, deck, peck, deck.
Yeah, it's because
leg extension, leg extension, leg extension.
Stop.
The second reason why I would use machines is because I'm just bored. I'm bored of all the free weights because I'm in there 7 days a week. Can I lift all the free weights?
I'm bored of being too strong.
Yeah. Once I've gone through the gym and I've lifted all the weights, all
I've
the
been
free,
here for 3 hours.
I pick up all
what
the free
else
weights.
Is there?
I pick up all the free weights. I put them back.
Ankle,
then I go to the
ankle machine.
Machine.
Oh, yeah. Let's do that. Scroogey, 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 scroogey. What the fuck are you doing? Ah, I got bored. I need another machine.
Bro, I'm losing my mind with your fucking sound effect.
Bro, I'm trying to bring it to a new level. I'm like working out new material here on air.
Are we giving any good information on this?
I'll tell you the machines
jerks right now.
I'll tell you the machines I do use. I use the forum machine.
Probably jerks.
No, I use the forum machine because it's convenient and I like to fucking do the whole stack.
You like the whole stranger
effect. I like
to
use machines where I can use the whole stack. That's about seriously. I swear to God, if I can use the whole stack, I might use that machine.
Okay.
That's about it.
Feels awesome.
On a serious note, there are times. Okay, one. And just made fun of the pec deck. I might go on there right before chest, and that's actually how I'll do like my warm-up. Really light.
To hit the inner chest?
Yeah. Oh, open. Oh, stop it, bro. I was trying to be serious so we can give some good information, okay. You dick.
Okay.
So I might go in there, and I might stretch my chest out, take it through full range of motion, and I'm just being lazy. And I'm,
no,
you're
going to do half reps, dude.
To me, it's not, I'm not even including that into my workout. This is me just kind of warming the body up, right. And I'm utilizing the machine for something like that. And then I go over to where I'm supposed to be, which is underneath the barbell or with some dumbbells, and lift free weights so I can get maximum results for my workout. Mm. The other time I might implement machines into my workout is maybe pre-exhausting something. So we've talked about this before with like squatting, and I'm trying to put emphasis in one place or the other. I've told women before that are trying to work on their glutes and they want to feel more of their butt from their squats, and they seem to feel more in their quads because they're quad dominant. I might have them pre-exhaust on like some glute kicks or like a silly, you know, butt machine before they go.
I love the silly butt machine.
Right. Silly butt machine.
I love watching the silly butt machine.
Right, before they go do squats. So machines have their places. Don't get me wrong. It's just that when you say machines versus free weights, these guys start making fucking jokes and noises because it's to us, it's not even a close call.
Yeah.
It's like free. You could never utilize a machine ever in your life and get the greatest body.
Listen,
for
12 years, 99% of the exercise I did were free weights because the gym I owned had cables and that's it. Mm-hmm. That's all I did was barbells, dumbbells, and then cables.
That's the exception in my brain is the cable machines. Yeah.
Because then you
cable
can do cross. Different. You could do different angles that you can't do with weights because gravity.
It's more versatile. Yeah, right. But. Yeah.
Scoogie, moving on. All right, next question is from Boom Boom Fit One. He's or she is asking about periodizing your occlusion training.
Well, that makes no sense to me since there's like a singular protocol for it.
Yeah,
and the whole concept of blood occlusion is all you're doing. So when we periodize workouts, we're trying to keep the body from getting adapted to.
We're changing the focus of the workout, the adaptation.
Exactly. Now, when you're doing blood occlusion, like that.
You're just trying to get blood in the
muscle.
Exactly.
That's all you're trying to do. You're just trying to pump blood into the muscle to get the sarcoplasmic hypertrophy that we're searching for. That's all we're looking for. So you changing repetitions would actually almost defeat the purpose. You want to stick to the basic protocol.
You don't want to do it all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, periodize your workouts, and at the end of your workouts, do some occlusion. That's all.
Yeah.
So your workout might change, but at the end, you throw in a couple sets of occlusion.
It in there.
And please, I have to say this every time because I know someone's going to fuck themselves up. Occlusion must be done properly. If you do it wrong, there is a chance of injury and some danger.
That's why we created a guide.
So we have an occlusion guide available at mindpumpradio.com if you really want to learn how to do it properly.
Well, I want to say something about the occlusion real quick before we move on to the next question. With the occlusion training, I will tell you something that, and maybe this is more along the lines of what he or she is asking with the periodize. I got into it when we first started. I was so amazed by the results from it that, you know, and I'm guilty, just like a lot of people are. You start to do something, you see results.
All the time.
And then you start doing it all the time. And I started to stop doing my traditional lifting and my regular phases of my strength, power, and working like my calves out.
So you would do a whole workout occlusion, that's it?
Well, not that I would do a whole workout. I'd be doing it 2, 3, 4 times a week, you know, mm-hmm. and mainly doing just occluding versus doing all my strength training for that. And I actually started to see, I started to lose my
gains. No, it's an addition. It's like a turbo to an engine.
Yeah.
You take the engine away, the turbo doesn't do a damn thing.
Exactly.
You need to have the engine.
Great analogy because you need to do those other things so that if you find yourself... Baby. Taking blood occlusion and it's replacing what you were already doing. That's not a good idea. You want to keep
it. Occlusion reminds me of like trigger sessions. Like it's an addition to your tradition, your foundation workout.
Yes.
When you add it to a workout, you get great results. When you do it by itself, you get a bit more results than doing nothing, but it's not going to replace your regular workout.
And that being said, it should only be a total of about 5 total minutes. In addition to your workouts.
Max. So actually, you don't want to be occluded that longer than that.
Yeah, no. You can
get necrosis.
It's
you can get some
30
tissue
reps,
death.
You know, 30 reps, 15 to 30 second rest, 15, 15, 15, 15. You do 5 sets and you're done. You know, you're done with it. You don't need to do any more than that. So.
I love doing occlusion at the gym. People freak out, man. They look at me like, what the fuck?
I know. I was like a weirdo.
All right, next. Doug, next.
Be fit, Brie. Should women train chest?
Yes.
Do it.
Next question.
Yeah.
Well.
Okay, so there was more to the question. Idea. There was more to the question.
Oh, she didn't want to lose.
Like, she didn't want to lose her boobs. And, okay. Yeah. You can't spot reduce, so working out an area won't make you burn body fat from that area. Your
probably
body
just, probably just make your tits sit up higher.
If anything, it'll lift your boobs. Right. If you get leaner, you'll lose some of your boobs. Just the way it is.
Yeah.
That's exactly. Just getting leaner.
You can't avoid that.
But working out your chest will probably give you perkier breasts.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've noticed it, you know, myself and in clients, people have said that to me where they've trained with me and said to me, you know, I feel like, you know, working out chest lifts my boobs. And it's true.
Now, is there a scenario or a case where you might lay off a female's chest and maybe not work it out more and spend more time working on her posterior? Is there a case? Yeah, that sounded weird, huh? Did I say that? Doug's laughing.
Adam never lays off a chest.
Is there? Let's talk about this more.
Sometimes the shit just comes out of my mouth. Yeah. I don't even know what I'm saying.
What if they're fake? You know, he just got them.
No, is there a case?
I think with anybody.
What kind of massages do they
if they have really, really protracted shoulder girdle?
That's what I was searching
forward
for.
Forward shoulder.
That's what I was searching
sometimes
for.
Sometimes women will come in after having breast augmentation, and then you have to be careful because you need to stretch the chest out and get the shoulders come back because they'll want to protract naturally after augmentation. But yeah, if somebody has really, really bad forward shoulder where they're hunched over, you might want to lay off the chest a little bit and work on the muscles that pull the shoulders back, the scapular retracting.
That's exactly what I was searching for from you, because there's been several clients, female clients,
right, who have a large chest, and we have to, like, you know, help them out and like help them brace that. Because
you're such a
been,
nice guy.
You know, I really help them out.
Yeah, Justin will hold them up. I'm actually talking about building the muscles up in their back to help pull them. This is actually really common. I see it a lot, especially in the gym when I see these ladies running the treadmill and they have all
black eyes.
It just kills me because women in general, I just believe, whether you're a believer in creation or not, I believe that the women's physique is just, it's just a beautiful thing, the way it's built. Like, I feel like,
let's take a moment of silence.
It is right.
Stop. Even
you know what? You're not going to get anybody to disagree with you in this room.
I know, right?
Well, no,
there's no debate.
No, like, there isn't. And that's,
actually, it's true.
Look, I have this theory.
Look, if you picture, picture like a good-looking guy, right? A naked dude, it just doesn't look like we got shit hanging out, weird things looking, and
we're square.
We got balls.
Boxy.
We got weird balls and all kinds of weird stuff.
Yeah.
A beautiful woman. It's like,
usually crooked.
Yeah, things are tucked in, so it's kind of like it's sleek.
And, you know, shapely, I mean? And shapely, hourglass look.
Yeah.
Like, it's the female body is a beautiful thing. Now it's a work of art. I'll tell you what. The only time that
sculpture.
I look at a female body and go, ugh, and it's not when someone's carrying a little excess weight. It's when they have poor posture. When I look at a woman and she has this excessively rounded shoulders, and it just takes away from the,
you know.
The physique.
Here's what it does. It looks like they're not confident.
I was just going to say,
right? It drops
very good,
their demeanor. Yeah.
You know what's funny, Justin? So there's two reasons. There's a few reasons why someone might have a protracted shoulder girdle, tight chest, weak mid-back. But sometimes it has to do with confidence. Sometimes people carry the way they feel and they'll kind of hunch everything forward and hold everything forward. And I've actually had clients where I've trained them at pulling their shoulders back and they'll get emotional because...
Yeah.
They feel like they're...
I've had the same thing.
Yeah, you have.
Yeah, I have the same response where it sort of fosters this new side to this person that I haven't seen, you know?
So they've done studies where So they did these studies where people went in and got an interview from a person, a fake interview. But the person giving the interview doesn't know that some of them are doing one thing and others are doing another thing. So what they do at the end is they judge the way the people interviewed. So what they did is they took one group and they had them stand in what's called a power posture. So a power posture is you stand with your feet apart, your arms up in the air, like you just won something. And you'll see this when athletes, anytime someone wins something.
I bust a load.
Right. You just stop and put
That's
your arms
crazy.
Up.
I do the same thing too. Yeah.
Yeah. So when you stand with your arms up,
I win.
Out,
yeah, exactly.
So what they did is they had these people stand for 30 seconds to a minute, I think, like this, and then go into the interview. So the person doing the interview didn't know that they did this power posture. The people doing the power posture ranked as more confident and better in the interview.
No shit.
Consistently. And I've tested this. Mm-hmm. I have tested this. Mm-hmm. If you start to feel shitty, stand up, put your legs out and arms out and hold them out open wide and hold that position for 30 seconds. Even doing it now if with you guys.
So you guys can't picture what he's doing right now, but he looks like the guy from YMCA and he's making the big Y. So he's standing up.
And I'm wearing a police uniform.
Awesome. Yeah, he's standing up with his arms all the way up straight, like in a Y, like YMCA. So that's what it looks like. That's a power posture.
And that will actually, you'll get some effects of some confidence. You'll release certain endorphins, make you feel better. Same thing with smiling and all these different things. So a lot of times correcting posture also changes the way you feel, even because forget about the way you look, because you're open. You're more open.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's cool stuff.
Every once in a while you say something I like.
I totally made that up. How's that sound?
Oh,
I'm just kidding. It's real.
It's real. Yeah, it's real. It's reality. All right.
Next question, T_Remily, I think it is. Tips on staying strong with your nutrition when people around you are eating shit.
Find new people.
I was just going to say, get new friends.
Yeah.
You know what? Like, you know, here's a couple options.
Go away, grandma.
I mean.
You're such a bitch.
Wow.
So. And I know these guys are a little different than I am on this. So you can take what I have to say and either you like it or not, and you can we'll get to them in a minute. This is where I carry my Tupperware, right? I'm that guy. I'm the guy who carries around his Tupperware.
He's the Tupperware guy.
You know, when I'm going to a party or I'm going to like a family event. And I know I'm going somewhere where
tilapia.
I'm gonna be put in a situation where nobody is eating anything that I can eat. I'm on a strict diet. I'm on my prep or whatever, and I know what I can consume and what I can't. I know where I'm about to go. Nobody's gonna be eating that, so I'll bring my food. And you better bet your ass. When I first start doing that, I get made fun of. People talk shit. People are constantly poking at me I just have this. Oh, you can't just have. And they're giving me shit. But you know what? If the great part about it is like if you can withstand that and you can persevere through that. And then you can continue on with your goals. When you get to whatever it is you're trying to head to as far as your physique goals or whatever you're trying to do, it's amazing the respect that you'll get from those people, because those same people that were giving me shit, you know, years ago when I first started carrying my Tupperware around to these parties are the same people now that anytime I come to a party, they're over hanging around me wanting to know what I'm eating, or better yet, now they call me and they want to know, hey, what would you make, or what do you need for us to prep?
Yeah, you're the trendsetter at that point.
Here's the bottom line. Exactly. Think about it this way. When you see someone, you're walking around, you see someone that's really fit. I mean, really fit. Six-pack, you know, nice delts, arms, legs, whatever. The reason why they stand out is because it's not common.
Yeah, it's not common.
So think to yourself. You got to think that to yourself.
Are you a maverick?
Right.
Or are you just a guppy?
Yeah, I'm not like everyone else. You know, that's what I say to myself. When I'm eating with people and they're eating shitty food and I really want to and they're making fun of me, I think to myself, I'm not like everybody. I'm like the minority that takes things very seriously when it comes to nutrition and exercise. And this is my goal, and that's the bottom line. So that's the mentality you have to go in. I am going to become someone that's going to stick out because most people don't or can't do what I'm about to do, and that should empower you. I know it does for me. So
right,
you have to own it though. You can't. It's just like it's like the painted toes thing. You can't fucking be a dude and rock painted toes and not own that shit. You can't fold when everybody starts prodding at you. You can't get defensive and, you know, get all butthurt about it.
All right, give me the ice cream.
Exactly. It's going to come, you know, and you, like Sal said, you have to be empowered by that. You got to take pride in that, you know, like, hey, I'm different. And you don't have to say anything about it. Like, I'm not the guy who comes in with his six-pack bags into the party and, like, look at me. It's like, I get it, and it's normally in the car in a cooler or whatever like that. And, you know, when it's time to eat or someone comes up to me, hey, would you like me to make you a plate or would you like this? I say, oh, no, it's okay. I brought my food or whatever.
By the way, one thing you can say, because a lot of us will say this, right? Your friend will say, hey, have some pizza. And you'll say, no, I can't. That's not an effective sentence.
No, it's not.
Don't say I can't, because they're going to argue with you and debate with you. And they've actually found in studies that people who say I can't tend to give in more than people who say I won't.
Yes.
So if someone says to you, hey, Sal, have some pizza. No, I won't eat any. And you know what's funny? More than half the time, they won't even go further than
right.
That.
Yeah. That's a great
because
point.
You've said I won't. Oh. You know what I mean? Have some beer. No, I won't drink beer. And it's over instead of I can't drink beer. Well, why can't you? What's going on? Why?
Yeah.
If I say I won't.
Oh, come on.
If I say I won't, a lot of times we're like, well, okay.
No, much better word for sure. Mm-hmm. The other option, which I do utilize sometimes too, is that's when I'll actually incorporate my intermittent fasting.
Yeah. I was going to bring that up. Yeah. That's what I do too.
Yeah. If I do this a lot when we're going. So Katrina and I, we go to the suite at HP all the time, and when we're up there, it's catered, and we get food and drink for free.
You fast?
Yeah, I just fast. I just, you know.
Yeah, it's like being so comfortable in the fact that, like, if you know, if nothing's to your pleasing, like, okay, I guess I'm not eating right now. And guess what? I'll eat later.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna die.
Right.
You know, like, stop bitching about it. And yeah, just control your own self.
Exactly. And more than likely, you talk about staying strong with friends that are being, more than likely, you're not hanging out with your friends for 17 hours straight, you know?
Yeah.
You're probably hanging out with them for a few hours. You're going to a movie. You're going to a concert. You're going to do something like that. Okay. Well, I'm fine. I'm not hungry right now. I'm not going to eat right now. That's that simple, you know? I'm not going to do anything right now.
Or just tell them you have diarrhea.
I'm allergic to everything. Like,
that gets me out of a lot.
Oh, they'll stop right there. Hey, have some... Have some of this pizza. Oh, I got diarrhea. We'll leave you alone right away.
I will say, though, if this is something, if this
pass
is
me the cauliflower,
if this is something that's very, very, I mean, I have to say that, you know, as I've gotten older, I tend to hang around people and friends of mine that are either one, on the same page as I am when it comes to health and nutrition, or two, or more accepting of it, because I don't even want to deal with that. Like, I don't even like how, if I had a friend that all he did was eat fast food all the fucking time, we're probably not hanging out that much. Mm-hmm. Just because as we're getting older, we obviously have different things in common. Because if he finds that a priority in his life to still be eating like that, I don't, you know?
Well, there's somebody that cares and there's somebody that doesn't.
Yeah, right.
That's it. It's like very simple.
All right, Spinny.
Spin master. All right,
next up is Kev Reynolds 26. The best exercises for explosiveness.
Oh, that's Justin.
That's Justin's house is here.
Let's get explosive.
So, Justin, before we get into explosiveness, what do you think of snatch? The snatch.
I think it's ridiculous.
So that's not a good exercise.
No.
Okay. Why?
Hey, everybody, stop doing it. By the way, unless you are an Olympic competing Olympic lifter. Okay, I'm just going to throw that out there, and I know I have a lot of colleagues and whatnot that do it, but most of my colleagues that do, and they're very good at it, are trained in Olympic lifts, and they're very, you know, proficient in what they do, and they've had, you know, Olympic coaches, you know, guide them through that lift. And it's not that, like, and this is what pisses me off, because, like, my two of my best friends even are guilty of this, where I have to have conversations with my best friends about, like, you know, no, like, why, like, one of them, like, has CrossFit, you know, as part of their workout routine, and then the other one, you know, he's just getting back into working out, and so, you know, my one friend works him out, and he's having him do some CrossFit workout where they're doing snatches. Overhead snatches.
So that's not a good, if you had to pick exercises to build overall, it's
probably the worst one ever to do as far as exposing, you know, and leaving your body in a compromised position where lots of things could go wrong.
It's unless, just a highly
dangerous.
Well, I was going to say, let's talk about that, because I think if I'm playing devil's advocate and I'm the person who's promoting a snatch, which, by the way, I never would.
Right.
I would tell you, like, oh, well, there's all these great benefits. I mean, it's a full body. I mean, you have your stabilization in there. There's power that's in there. There's, I mean, all kinds of great stuff going on.
Well, it's an exercise that's super technical. And the only reason why you should do it is if you're trying to get better at it.
Exactly.
If you're trying to build explosiveness for a sport, it's not very sports specific, unless you're maybe a professional wrestler where you pick some up above your head and you squat with them.
Here's something I'd be more comfortable with.
WWE wrestling, you mean?
Picking weight up off the ground and then throwing it over your head.
That'll give you, that's better.
Way better.
Yeah.
Yeah, way better. Why are you trying to stabilize that momentum and then, you know, get your shoulders to retract all the way back and then also stabilize all this momentum of weight and then squat down into it. You know that, like, a CrossFit guy did that competing and it fell and severed his spine.
Horrible accident. Very, very horrible.
And he's
accident.
Forever, like, paralyzed.
That's a horrible accident.
And people just wash that, or, you know, brush that under the rug, like, oh, hey, you know, things happen. Guess what? That wouldn't happen if you didn't do that.
Yeah, it is a super technical exercise. Well,
just listen to me, people. Okay, like, you just stop doing it because you're not qualified to do it.
Unless you
want to show me that you're a competing Olympic lifter or you've been trained by a competitive coach at, you know, a really, like, a high level coach.
Well, what is a good explosive exercise then for people that you would recommend to someone who wants to build explosive power?
I mean, I love power cleans, and I'll do different variation of power cleans, and you know, from the floor, from a hang snatch, from or a hang clean, and I'll even do snatches with like a dumbbell or
totally different scenario.
Dumbbells. Yeah. So just to throw that out there to not like naysay like well, the whole well,
all these explosive
movement
all
of
these
it.
Explosive movements with barbells are technical.
It's technical.
Even a hang clean.
Yeah.
Which is the easier version is still technical, but here's what I don't know. What do you think about this, Justin? Because I've done this with some of my athletes.
Okay.
Because it's so simple. Like I don't have to focus a lot of time on teaching them technique.
Mm-hmm.
Is I'll have them do a kettlebell swing and they'll throw the weight. Like we'll go to the park.
Yeah.
Do a kettlebell swing and throw the weight behind you as hard as you can.
Okay.
Would that be
good? Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. See.
And also do it, you know, out in front.
Or out in front.
Yeah, exactly. And it's really it's what you're focusing on is that first move anyway. Like we're not trying to. I mean, a kettlebell swing in itself is very technical, right? Because mm-hmm. it's ballistic. And you have a lot to account for as far as decelerating the weight, then driving through and exploding. A lot of people do kettlebell swings wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I see this all the time, and it's bad. There's ways that you can hurt yourself, you know, with that. So anytime you're trying to move weight faster and do this, you know, at an accelerated pace, the odds start getting, you know, stacked against you as far as like things that could go wrong.
Mm.
And so just to throw an added caution to that, just because I feel like people don't really take it seriously. And, you know, and I'll do anything from like a power press where you know, I'm doing like a jerk press or I'm doing something where I'm throwing the barbell up and I'm trying to accelerate and really get some speed from the instant of contraction. So there's different, it just depends on what you're trying to do. If you're trying to press, pull, if you're trying to jump.
It's really about speed of contraction.
It's speed of contraction and it's like activating and stimulating that activation at like a very quick, you know, efficient pace.
Well, what do you think about things like box jumps and jump lunges and things like that?
Oh,
and
yeah.
Like ice skater movements.
Absolutely.
Multiplanar type stuff.
But like I explained in the one episode, like it doesn't need to be for a long period of time.
No, you don't do them for
No, yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, like 30-second bouts, you know, a few reps here and there, very diligent reps. You know, it's about that initial contact on the ground and then exploding and driving out of it.
I would say the two people that should do movements for explosiveness are athletes
mm-hmm.
or people who are very advanced. Other than that, I don't see explosive training benefiting really almost anybody. You know, I mean, would you have an intermediate or beginner do anything explosive?
No, but a lot of people do, though.
Yeah.
A lot of people do because of the high calorie burn.
Well, I think it just looks fun and it looks challenging.
It creates a new recruitment, right, in your body. So they're going to get that adaptation because of that. So they see change. So that's the problem is you start, if you've never trained that way, you start training that way, you see change in your physique, you burn calories.
It's sort of watered down though, because you'll see like these Instagram, you know, even like some of these girls that are doing like these squatted jumps.
But they're not jumping up hard.
Pathetic.
Yeah, they're not trying.
It's pathetic. They're just wee.
How do you really feel?
I cringe because it's like, why are you doing that?
Well,
they're just trying to be cute.
They're not doing it to explode off the ground. They're just jumping.
They're just jumping.
Yeah. So if you just jump, you're not going to get the effect as if you're jumping hard.
You're jumping exactly
fast.
There's a total difference in effort and what you're actually trying to recruit.
Well, here's something a lot of people don't
be explosive.
Here's something people don't realize is that if you just get stronger, you'll be more explosive too.
Yeah.
Like, it's strength contributes to explosiveness quite a bit.
Oh, well, I'll tell you right now, being a basketball player my whole life, I couldn't dunk a basketball until I started weight training and squatting.
Yep.
I mean, I did all the exercises that you're
all the jumping.
Yeah,
and
the jump shoes, the calf raises, all the shit we were supposed to do.
You stronger legs to press into the ground.
I never had the legs. And then when I started squatting and started heavy squatting, all of a sudden, I was like 30 pounds heavier.
Mm-hmm.
I go back down, I think, oh my God, I wish I had that knowledge as a kid. Because if I could jump 30 pounds and dunk the basketball now heavier, I was a skinny little twig. If I was just squatting back then when I was a kid, I would have been jamming the ball like when I was a kid in high school, but mm-hmm. you know, I didn't have that knowledge back then.
Yeah, and I mean, if you spend a lot of time just on the neuromuscular connection with that, like if you really focus on like you know, specific drills to activate and get more recruitment, and there's ways that you can do that, and you can do like isometric work to really fire up you know, that response. you know, if you don't have that pathway opened up, you're not going to be able to recruit.
Well,
wouldn't, you know, what's wouldn't, necessary for that?
Wouldn't you say a lot of it's neurological, right? What, it, I mean,
exactly. You, well, that's how you're going to be able to contract at a high velocity.
Because you could even
is
take
that, it,
you
that
could,
connection.
You could take even a regular squat and mm-hmm. traditional and really concentrate on your eccentric phase slowing down. Then when you get right to the bottom, boom, exploding yeah. up out of it. You know,
well,
coming
it's
up.
What's crazy about it too is like, and I sort of alluded to it when I posted something when I was trying to do some hang snatches. I keep saying snatches, but I don't do snatches. It was a hang clean, and it really was like I wasn't focused, and when I wasn't focused, my body didn't perform the way I wanted it to, and it was so evident to me, like that. It was my mind connection was not there, and I didn't get the response that I wanted to, and then so I had to drop the weight and then just start over. And once I dropped the weight, start over, focused. You know, like actively thought about it and like what I needed from that recruitment,
harder.
Boom, fired harder and then pounded and then drove it and was perfect. But that plays a huge role. And it's something that, I mean, even on the highest level, you're going to get these like psychologists coming in, you know, sports psychologists to come in to try and like, you know, reconnect that focus. And because there's so many things externally that block that connection that you have. And, you know, if people can get really good with that connection, it totally translates on the field and you just perform at a really high level. It's that zone. Everybody seeks for that zone, and that zone is the connection. And if you don't have the connection established and you haven't been, you know, working on getting stronger and firing, you know, those muscle fibers up, and really working on neuromuscular connection, then you're not going to get that kind of response that you want. Mm.
So that being said, there's less of a best exercise for it, and it's more learning that connection is more important because you could do
explosive anything, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you could be doing that. You could be doing an exercise like a jump box that could typically be considered explosive, but you could be doing it so poorly that you're not really getting a lot of benefits
from
it.
You're not focused. Well, and I think that too, why that's at the pinnacle of the, when you periodize like a training protocol. So because strength in somewhat, you don't have to be super focused because the load is there to provide that for you.
That focus, right?
Right. And so when you get into the power phase, it's so mental because
Great point.
Already established is there, you know, all your strength is there, you know, your size, you know, your speed, whatever it is that like your body consists of, like it's there. You've built that. Now, how do I use this?
That makes sense because if I walk out of the cage with 300 pounds on my back to squat, I'm focused because there's heavy ass weight on my back.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm holding, you know, 100 something pound, you know, barbell, and I need to clean that as hard and fast as I can, if I don't put my focus into it, I'm only going to move it as fast as I need to get it up.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So yep. That's great.
Very good point.
All right, Doug.
All right, next up, B_Reynolds23. Does working out in a fasted state increase likelihood of exertion headaches?
Maybe it could.
What are exertion headaches?
When you're working out hard and you start to get a pounding headache.
I don't know if I've ever gotten that before.
Yeah, that can. Okay, so theoretically, that could probably happen because when you're fasted and you start working out, you might get more vasodilation. Your blood vessels might open up a little more, especially if you take a pre-workout. And that extreme vasodilation with the high blood pressure from the lifting weights might cause you to get a headache. So if it happens more than once, then you probably shouldn't work out fasted. It's not for everybody. You might do a little better having some pre-workout carbohydrates.
What, when you train fasted, do you train at a very high intensity?
I always train at high intensity, motherfucker.
I do too.
Oh, wow. Well.
I think it's a matter of getting adapted to that, though. Like, if this is still new, you know what I mean? Like, that just... It might be too, like, the energy, like, levels might not be there yet, right? You might not be, I don't know.
Well, you're not adapted to that.
Yeah, you're not adapted to it.
And I'm not.
You're not responding well.
I use my fasting, you know, intermittently. So I throw it in there, you know, every once in a while into my routine.
How long before you eat? Before you work out, do you eat? Or how soon?
Well, okay, let's say typically if I do a fast, I'm doing like a 9 to 2 type of fast.
Oh, okay.
So 9 p.m. and then I normally get my workout probably around noon. So I normally break the fast with my workout.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. So at the end of my you know, fast is working out, and then I eat after that.
Right,
I'm at the very end of the fast.
So you work out hard while fasted.
Well, I mean, hard and, you know, I don't know how intense this person is talking about, because if you're working out so hard, I'm getting a headache. Like, I don't train. I mean, when I train so hard that my body feels nauseous or dizzy or I could possibly, I mean, I'm normally fed.
It depends on the individual, dude. Look, I've had, I've gotten a headache a couple times, and there's certain exercises that I'll do it. Pull-ups, if I do pull-ups, like if I start repping out pull-ups. But that's, again, because my veins are so dilated. Well,
yeah. I feel so I'm gonna put it out there. Like, I'm wondering if he was dehydrated.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's
probably for me, that. Yeah, for me, like, I know that I've gotten headaches, but it was just because I was dehydrated. I know that as a fact.
Mm. I tell you what, that's one of the biggest things when I got into competing and I had to start tracking my water. I never really realized how much I underdrank. And now, like, it's
most people.
Yeah. I mean, that's why they got to be. I know if I'm somebody who's into fitness and I track and I do that stuff, and I carry the stupid gallon around.
God, I swear. That's like the biggest thing that people like realize when they have to like stop everything and even just focus on, well, I have to drink water. And like, oh my God, I like never, Sal right now is drinking water.
It's crazy how much we under, and you know what? Just like I guarantee, and I know because all my clients are the same way too. Is everyone's just like me, just like you said. Oh, I drink lots of water.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started actually measuring it and watching.
It's totally
like,
different.
I'm like, holy shit, that's what I thought was a lot of water. Now I drink 2 to 3 times that amount of water, night and day different. I mean, energy levels too. Like
energy, skin, appetite, mood.
Yes.
If you can do anything better for your body that's simple, it's like, just drink more water.
Now,
can
you drink too much water?
No.
Yes,
you can. Yeah.
3 gallons in an hour?
Yeah, well, no. If you're doing a challenge like that on the radio
I wanted
station.
To say that. You know why I said
that's
that?
That's about it, though.
Because there have been cases where people have done, like, these water challenges.
Like a handful of people.
And they'll fucking drown.
Drown themselves.
If your pee is almost like a clear yellow, you're drinking enough water, typically. If it's super clear, like it looks like water, you might be a little too much.
Yeah,
but that's it. I mean, that's
that's not even too much. You can drink that much water. Do you have
Hold on. I'm not. You know what? I'm not done. If you eat a high protein diet and you have a lot, sodium in your food and this whatnot, you can drink a lot more. Especially if you eat a high protein diet,
right?
You should drink a lot more
if you got sodium already there. Yeah. If you're stripped of sodium and you're all drinking water.
Basically,
bad news.
If your pee is too salty,
yes,
you
taste, know what I mean? Your
so
pee.
Just taste it. Yeah,
yeah, but I think that was a great point what Justin said, because there's probably a good. It's probably a hydration thing. That would be the first thing that I would go after is seeing how hydrated you are going into your workout and how much you're drinking. I put almost 3/4 of a gallon down before I get into my workout, and I put down a whole gallon of water while I work out. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's a lot of water. I'm a big guy compared to the average person, but if you're not putting down quite a bit of water during
a workout. One thing I like about hanging out with you guys is that we all pee a lot. I'll be around other people, and I feel like I'm always going pee, and they're like, nobody's taking a piss. And I'm like, fuck, is something wrong with me?
I know.
But then when I hang out with you guys, while we're recording, we'll record for like 3 hours. We all take like 5 pisses
every time.
I'm waiting for this one to end because I'm gonna piss bad right now.
You gotta go right now. Yeah. I'm gonna tickle you before you go.
This time I want to taste it.
God.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.